If you would, turn with me to Revelation chapter 8. And we'll pick up there. Let's pray certainly for Jackie and Mike and the family. But two, Sherry's brother-in-law is in the hospital and they're not sure what's going on with him. So let's pray for Dean to keep him in your prayers. And do you know if he's saved? Okay. We'll pray for that most of all, huh? So, Father, thank you, Lord, that you've overheard. You know. You knew all these things were going to come to pass. You knew the time. It was an appointed time that you knew all about, Lord. So nothing has caught you by surprise. We're just so thankful that we can be included to know you, Lord, that you've called us by name. You've given us the faith to believe, to respond. And we're just so thankful, Lord, to be part of your family, sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. You no longer call us servants, you call us friends. We rejoice in you, Lord. For you are worthy. You're the only one worthy. And we just praise you and thank you tonight, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. We think of Dean, Lord, first and foremost, Father, that you'd touch his heart and just help him to respond to you, Lord. In the midst of this trial, in the midst of this hard time, that you'd just help him just to hear you speak to his heart, Lord, and that he would respond to you. That salvation would come, Lord, and that you would just give the doctors wisdom to know what's happening, why things are going on the way they are, and that you would just give them supernatural understanding, Lord, that they would even be amazed, that they would know, Father, that you would just touch their hearts too. And Father, we do think of Mike and Jackie and the family, Lord, as they grieve tonight, Father, they knew it was coming. But Lord, it still doesn't take away the hurt, the missing of family, the missing of faces, the missing of hands to touch and smiles to see, of sparkling eyes looking back at them. But Lord, we're thankful that he knew you. And Lord, one day again, they're going to gather around the throne and worship together. What a hope we have, Lord, that the world just doesn't have. So we're thankful for his salvation, but Lord, we pray for your comfort. You told us in Corinthians that you're the God of all comfort. And Father, you know the comfort they need. We can say words and in phrases, Lord, but you know how to bring the comfort that they need right now that we just don't know about, Lord. Think of the family members who don't know you, that you would touch their hearts and help them to just come to a realization that life does end and eternity does come. Father, pray that they would come to salvation in the midst of this, Lord. So we just look to you. We give you thanks. Pray you'd open your word to us tonight. Pray you'd speak to us, Lord. Have your way with us. We need you. And we just thank you that you've left your word for us. What a blessing, Lord, to have the word of Almighty God in our hands as you speak to us, Lord. May we respond. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 8. We've been going through and we come to a change. We've gone through the seal judgments and certainly hard things that were there. No part of this tribulation period is easy, but they seem to intensify as we go. And when they open the seventh seal, that's when these trumpet judgments come. And there's seven trumpet judgments. The number seven, very evident throughout all of Revelation, and there's going to be seven trumpet judgments. And the seventh trumpet that sounds is going to bring the vile judgments. And they just keep coming. But there's a change here in chapter 8 that goes on. And it's nothing strange. It's nothing different. But what it is, I think, that we see God's heart just a little bit more. And so we pick up in verse 1 of chapter 8. Doug told me I only had a half an hour, so we really have to hurry. Because as Dawn says, my introduction takes 29 minutes, so that gives a minute to go through Scripture here. So we're in real trouble. And I just wasted the minute. So, and when he had opened the seventh seal. So here's the seventh seal. It's being opened. Remember, Jesus is the one that's received the book. He's it's the title deed to earth. He's opened the seals because he's the only one that was worthy to do it. And it says when he opened it, there was a silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. John translated to heaven. Seeing all these things going on, and he sees all the noise. He sees the 24 elders. He sees the four living creatures. He sees all the people around the throne. And here comes a time, and Jesus opens the seventh seal, and there's silence for a half an hour. Can you imagine? Complete silence. You and I are a people that are in a generation that are in a world that can't stand silence. We have radios on when we go home. Even if nobody's there, we turn them on and we just leave them on because we need noise. We come in, we turn on the TV. We're not even listening to it. We're just walking around. There is constant noise all around us. And suddenly, as the seals opened, there's no more judgment that's being poured out for a moment, but instead just silence. And it really, for me, it takes me back and just makes me think, what is really going on here? What is really happening? And you wonder if God is in that place where he realizes he knows what's going on. But as the seal is opened, you just wonder if his heart is breaking because he knows what's going to happen to the people that are left. Oh, I'm sure his heart is breaking because he died for them, just as he died for you and me. He sees millions and millions and billions of people, and his heart breaks because they won't accept his provision, his plan, his ways. And he sits and broods over the earth of what's to come for these people. Oh. And for us, it's the same, isn't it? We come and we watch our relatives pass. And we brood over them. We pray for them. Lord, are they saved? Lord, do they really know you? Lord, is their heart with you? And we brood over those things. And we cry out to God in the midst of those things. We sit in hospitals with our kids. And we go, Lord, please save them. Give the doctors wisdom. And we're quiet before the Lord, just crying out in our hearts, aren't we? And sometimes you watch the news, if you can handle it, and your heart just breaks because you see the direction that the world is going. You see the hurt and the pain on people's faces. And your heart just breaks and you can't say anything. Silence in heaven for half an hour. complete silence. Can you imagine billions of people with the Lord and nobody's saying a word? Nobody's doing anything. There's no lightnings. There's no thunders. There's no noise. There's no wind. Oh, the quietness. And then John says, I saw the seven angels, and the number seven again, so keep it in mind as we go, seven being the number of completion. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. Evidently, these seven selected angels are standing there. They're standing before God. They're ready to receive from God what he has for them. Even the angels have to be ready to receive from God the things that he has for them. How much more for you and I to wait on God, to be before him, to receive the things that he has for us. They stood before God. How often do we stand before God really and truly and just give our hearts to him and say, Lord, whatever you want. Lord, what do you have for me today? Lord, what do you have for me right now? They stood before God, and to them were given. Notice they were given. They didn't know what to do. God gives them seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was one of those pieces of utensils that were in the tabernacle that the priests would use. And here in heaven, an angel stood at the altar of worship, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. So they're before the throne of God. He's there with this utensil to gather up incense in it, and he was going to offer it, notice, with all the prayers of all the saints. And it tells us in Scripture that the prayers of the saints is a sweet incense to the Lord. And so he's there. In the cries that are going out, are cries that we've seen before. In chapter 6, it tells us that the martyrs that were there under the throne, in verse 9 of chapter 6, and he says, when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. These martyrs that were there, they were there because they believed in God in the tribulation period, and they were martyred for their faith. They didn't take the mark of the beast, and so they were martyred, and they're there before the throne of God for the word and for the testimony which they held. They held on to it with all that they were, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And the cries of the saints are going up. How long, Lord? How long, Lord, is there going to be death in the earth? How long, Lord, are there going to be murders? How long, Lord, are there going to be broken hearts because of infidelity? How long, Lord, as we see the sin rise up and people do evil continually, how long, Lord, do we sit and look at it before you do something? Oh. And we cry that out sometimes, don't we? You know what the leading cause of death was in the world last year? Abortion. Abortion was the leading cause of death in the world wide last year. How long do you think God is going to wait before he judges that? We think of just America, but the whole world is in the same place, doing evil against the Lord, killing the ones that he's died for, killing the ones that he's formed in the bellies, in the wombs. of the women that he loves. How long, O Lord? We cry that out too, don't we? And here's the saints. They're crying out. Their prayers are going up. The angel is offering those prayers, and it's a sweet incense to the Lord. It's before the throne. And it says in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up. God is still above everything. God is always above everything. Sometimes we get the idea that we're above everything. And some of our politicians, some of our sports figures, some of our music figures think that they're above everything else and that they deserve something. We deserve hell. God has given us life. And because he's given that to us, we are not above anything. We are beneath. And thank goodness for that, because I don't want to be God. I'd make a mess of it. I can't even do my own life, much less yours. But God can. And he's above everything else, and he wants us to rise up to where he is in his place. In the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So he's holding these things out, and they rise up to God, and he sees them. He smells the sweet incense. He hears the prayers. He hears the cries. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. Cast it upon the earth. In their voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The angels preparing themselves to sound the judgments that were to come. But there's something that's going on here that we should see, because Scripture always teaches us those things, and the rest of Scripture always brings us to a place of realizing that things have happened before. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 6, if you would, just for a minute here, because we've seen this before. And really what this is just a picture of what's going on in Revelation now, just on a different level. On a different sphere, in a different place, a different time. But in Joshua chapter 6, it says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shall you do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets. Seems like we've heard that somewhere. Seven trumpets, seven priests. The men of God holding the trumpets of God. And the Lord says, I've given you this. The seven angels that were going to sound were given the trumpets, were given what they were supposed to do, just like the priests were given what they were supposed to do here. As we listen, as we hear, God always speaks and always prepares us to do the things that he has for us. This is a strange thing that they're doing. I mean, how many of you have walked around Rochester seven times with a trumpet? You'd be committed by round number three. You would never complete seven of them. And yet God tells him, take a trumpet, walk around the city. Really? This is a strange thing, Lord. But God is doing some mighty things and some wonderful things, because in the midst of it, remember what's hanging out of Jericho? A purple thread, a scarlet thread hanging out of a window. And they're going to see that seven times as they go by. And they're going to go, look, God did a work in that house that's on the wall. He saved that woman. And when the walls fall down, what do the men do? They go up and get Rahab, who becomes in the line of Jesus. Really? A harlot? Amen. Harlots can get saved just as well as politicians. Believe it or not, some politicians get saved. Pray for Senator Hawley from Missouri. That guy is on fire for the Lord, and he is cool. And he is not backing down from saying, Jesus is Lord. Love that guy. Anyway, that was just a little free information for you to go through. But here's these seven priests, seven trumpets. They're walking around the walls. And what happened? The walls fall down, right? Just like God says. With us, we build up walls, don't we? And God says, I've got a high priest who wants to break down those walls that are in your hearts. I want to break down those things in your life that hold you back from seeing me. I want to break down those walls that keep you from me. Because Rahab had no fellowship where she was now that she got saved. She was just in a place where the only thing that she could do was hold out a thread and say, please, somebody come get me. You promised, Lord, to come get me. And the seven priests going around had to encourage her. Oh, God is coming. God is coming. What a sweet picture that is for her. For the rest of Jericho, it's a sad picture. Because Jericho is going to fall down. The walls are going to be broken down. And they're going to perish without salvation. And as the Lord prepares these seven trumpets with these seven angels, I'm sure he's brooding over all the people that are going to perish. But in the midst of it, God was giving time for each person in Jericho to get saved. Just as the Lord, when these seven angels are going to sound these seven trumpets, are giving people in the world opportunity to stop them in their tracks where they are and to come to salvation. God is always in that place of desiring salvation. As much as those people anger us and frustrate us, God loves them and he wants to save them. And you know what's going to happen? The people that we're the most angry with are probably the people that are going to stand next to us in heaven going, oh, thank goodness I got saved at the last second. And we're going to go, And there's another wall that needs to be broken down for us, doesn't it? Lord, I'm angry with him. He goes, I know. I love him. Lord, I got bitterness, and I'm angry. He goes, I know. I want to break that wall down. There's a scarlet thread hanging out of the window of that wall that you build up. And I want to break it down so that you can have salvation in the midst of it. And we build up so many walls, don't we? We lock our doors at night. I mean, we're foolish if we don't. But we try and lock up the doors of our heart too when Jesus wants it open. And we can't take everything that goes on in the world and bring it into ourselves. We have to let the Spirit of God and the Word of God do that work that it wants to do in our hearts. And he says, I want you to have forgiveness always. And we go, really? Well, I'll forgive this one. I ain't forgiven that one. He goes, really? Then you're not going to be free. You're still going to have a wall. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to blow a trumpet. And I'm going to knock that wall down. Oh, Lord. And it's always better for us if we let him stop us building the wall than it is for him to knock down the wall after it's been built, isn't it? Because we take a lot of time building walls, and God takes 1 second to knock it down. Oh. A lifetime that we miss because we're so busy building up things against people and against God. The seven priests walking around doing the same thing that we see in Revelation. And the seven angels preparing themselves to be ready to blow their trumpets. The scene in heaven as you look at it, and the people just looking at these angels. What are they doing? As soon as they sound, judgments are going to come. John's going to see that. Oh. Back in Revelation, the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. They prepared themselves. And how much more should we be preparing ourselves to receive the Word of God, to receive His Holy Spirit, to receive what He has for us? Instead of building walls, we're receiving what God has. And then verse 7, the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Oh, there's already been devastation. And these first four trumpets that we're going to see in chapter 8 are against things. What we're going to see with the last three trumpets in chapter 9, we're not going to get there tonight, but the last three trumpets are against men themselves. And what is God doing? Why does He do it that way? I really think He's giving man more of an opportunity to come to salvation. They've never seen anything like this. Folks, we've never seen anything like COVID before that takes the world by storm. What is God doing? I know what He's doing. He's purifying the church. He's taking the church and saying, hey, wake up, I'm coming. Praise the Lord, we look forward to it. But you know how many of the churches are so fearful they can't move? Some of them are still not even open. And the ones that are just trying to make people feel good. I hate to tell you, you're in the wrong place. I'm not here to make you feel good. Because God wants holiness. He's a holy God that wants a holy people. And He's going to purify the church. Do you know why He wants to purify you? Because there's billions of people outside these walls that want to see a righteous life. And if you don't get purified, they're not going to see a righteous life. You don't have to say a word to witness. You have to live to be a witness. And they're preparing the sound, and He's going to bring judgment upon the earth, but He's not going to hurt the men until afterwards, till chapter 9. And I think it's to wake them up. He's doing the same thing with COVID that He's doing here. He's waking up the church. He's showing the world who He is, what He can do in an instant, how quick things can change, and trying to bring salvation to those who are without. He's a good God. But He wouldn't be God if He didn't bring judgment upon sin. He has to judge sin. And thank goodness that He judges righteously. When I judge, I have an agenda and I have an opinion and I have a heart that's behind it that says, I want this judged. But He judges righteously, and I'm so thankful. Amen. And I'm thankful that God put the judgment that I deserved on Jesus, and that he let me know that. How much should we worship Jesus? Oh my goodness, folks. With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So here's these angels. The first angel sounded, hail, fire, cast upon the earth. Third part of the trees burn up. Green grass all burn up, a third part. What happens when you take away the grass in the trees? The oxygen levels start going down. There's not as much fruit. There's not much growth, which means there's a little more devastation. Second angel, second trumpet in verse 8. And as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures that were in the sea that had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. The commerce is being destroyed. The monetary system is being destroyed. Third part of the ships, no transportation. Does it remind you of something? Water turning to blood? Fire being cast upon the earth? Hail coming through? Reminds me of the plagues of Egypt. And I think God puts that in there and uses those same pictures to help us to realize something, that he did the same thing in Jericho that he did in Egypt, that he's doing now. He's calling the church to be pure. What did he do with Israel, with Pharaoh? He wanted Israel to be ready to come to him. And since Pharaoh and the Egyptians were not going to, he wanted them to wake up so that some of the mixed multitude would go with them out of Egypt. And there was some, wasn't there? There was some that got saved and went with him. He's doing the same thing here. He's trying to draw people to himself, and he's purifying the church. I think there's a call going out to the church for people who are truly born again to be ready for what's to come. We don't know how long we're going to be here and what we're going to see, but we know God is able to bring us through one way or the other. If I die naturally, I'm going home to be with Jesus. The Equality Act that's before our government right now is one of the most dangerous, as Franklin Graham said, is one of the most dangerous pieces of legislation ever put forth. It will cause churches to shut down, real churches. Fake churches are still going to be open. Hate to tell you, I'm not going. Because I don't want to hear what they have to say. I want to hear what he has to say. He's calling the church to be real. He's calling the church to be true. He's calling you and I to repent and to get right. We got attitudes that we got to get rid of. I really don't want to. And there's another attitude I got to get rid of. Lord, I want to be mad at that person. No. Oh, Lord, really? Yeah. Oh, but Lord, I want my way. No. It's not a good way. Oh, you didn't have to say amen. But it's true. So much stuff that's still here. And isn't the Lord good that he shows us every single day what's still in our hearts? Oh my goodness. I got so much junk in there. I don't think there's room for Jesus at all. There is so much junk that's in the way of me seeing Jesus high and lifted up. Because I'm so busy with myself, I can't see him. Lord, forgive me. You know you can pray for me a lot because there's a lot of stuff there. So the second angel sounds, all this stuff is going on. The third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the ships. And then the third angel sounded. We don't know how fast these things are going, but there's a definite progression that's going on. These things don't happen all at once. There's a progression of things that are going on. It just doesn't all happen at once. And then the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, or bitterness. And the third part of the waters became bitter, as it were. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. What happens when vegetation is gone? What happens when water is gone, the supply of water is gone, is that there's going to be death. And yet God is still calling. He's calling, sinner, come home. Oh, so gracious. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. What happens when the sun doesn't shine? Nothing grows. We know what it's like because we live in Rochester. For a third part of our year, the sun doesn't shine. We don't see the moon. We don't see the stars because it's always cloudy and gray and yucky. What is it like when it's gone for a third part of the day that it's usually out? Oh, it doesn't get warm. Nothing grows. It doesn't have a chance. Wow. Everything is out of order. Does it seem like that in your world today? Everything's out of order. Out of the order that we know as these human beings, but not out of God's order, because God is still in control. And thank goodness for that he's in control. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. If you ever get a chance, get Adrian Rogers' sermon on this verse. When he says it, we listened to him a few weeks ago. Oh my goodness, I had chills. He says it so well. Whoa. And you just get scared. Just, ugh. Well, I'm scary anyway, but but here's an angel that's flying through saying, whoa, whoa, whoa. Why is he saying that? Because there's three more trumpet judgments. He's saying a woe for every one of them. And these woes are against mankind. They're not against the vegetation. They're not against the rivers. They're not against the waters. They're against mankind. And the angel is saying, what's to come is worse than what was here right now. If you made it through this part, okay. But hang on, because the next three are even worse. The warning that God gives, does he have to give warning? No. Why does he do it? So that people will get saved. So that people realize they're not in charge. So that people can worship the God that loves them. He sends an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, so everybody can hear. Can you imagine if you're on earth, still mad at God and hating God, and you hear this thing flying through the air going, whoa, whoa. Oh. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. These last three are going to be worst. The things that we see in the world right now are scary to us. They bother us. We've been shaken. And didn't he say that in Isaiah, that everything under heaven was going to be shaken? Is God shaking? Oh, yeah. Is man responding? Not too well. God is in that place where he desires mankind to come to him. And the church needs to be the place that starts it. Because if we don't start it, how is the rest of the world going to know how to respond? If it's left up to mankind, we're going to make stupid laws that make no sense. And there's enough of them out there. And if the church doesn't rise up and get their hearts right, how's the rest of the world ever going to see what's right to do? I think it's a call for the church to repent, for us as individuals to turn and to say, God, it's time for me to get right with you, and I mean right. I'm not here to get saved just so I don't have to go through hell. I'm here to get saved so I can show the world what's right. If this Equality Act passes, every time a pastor gets up here and teaches the word, we're going to be in jail. You know what? We're going to have great Bible studies in jail because there's going to be a ton of pastors that are sitting there going, let's open the word. So if you really want a good Bible study, come to jail with us and we'll have it together. It's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. The things to come, things are not going to get better. But you know what? God is still good. And he's always good. And if we go to jail, we go to jail, but he's still good. And he's going to be good to us. Did Israel go through hard times? Yes. Did God bring them out? Yes. Did God give Noah a hard time? 120 years of preaching and nobody got saved. Was he still good to Noah? Amen. Is he going to be good to you? Well, you were good to Noah because he was a righteous man. I'm not sure about me. You don't have to say amen again. No. I'm not righteous, but God is. And God is faithful. If you're going to get right with God, God is going to be faithful to equip you to do it, and he's given you the grace to do it. So let's rise up. Let's be the people of God that he wants us to be. And pray for me because I'm struggling with it. It is hard. It is hard to be completely before God and open. Because I like to build walls just as much as you guys like to build walls. But God is good. And God is faithful. So the worship team wants to come up. We'll pray and we'll